And you are listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Jenis Bernstein, and we continue our discussion of the situation, if you will, in this hemisphere. And in San Francisco, I am Jenis Bernstein. The Zapatistas continue to make history with La Otra Campaña, the other campaign. The other campaign focuses on the failures of the current political system in Mexico that is rife with corruption and the alternative possibilities of a people's political independent movement. And just back from spending time with the campaign is Pedro Navarro. He joins us by telephone, and in the studio is Alejandro Reyes. Both work closely with the Chiapas Support Committee. Reyes will be joining the Zapatista campaign and following along on his motorcycle, reporting for Flashpoints on the way. I want to thank you both for being with us on Flashpoints. Let me go to you on the telephone. Pedro Navarro, tell us a little bit about what happened? What was it like being down there?
Well, hello. It was a wonderful experience, like always. The compañeros, the Zapatistas in Chiapas, they are always very welcoming to internationals and any Mexican, any visitors who come by to their community. So first off, it was a very comfortable experience and a very gratifying welcoming that the compañeros gave us.
And why did you go down?
Excuse me?
And why did you go down?
We went down to it was during our annual International Women's Day delegation that the Chiapas Support Committee organizes every year, and that was the main reason for going down there. It was four people from the Chiapas Support Committee that went on the trip, along with seven other individuals from throughout the United States.
And talk a little bit about some of the things that stay with you about the trip, the kinds of things you see. What is it that we need to know that we don't know about what's going on down there?
Well, first off, their autonomous system is developing, continues to flourish in the face of counterinsurgency activity, both from the part of on behalf of the government directly, the military, the government military, as well as paramilitary groups. So they are able to establish their autonomous economic system by doing projects such as the one that we actually had a part in funding, which was a regional warehouse, a grocery warehouse that allows for the compañeros to have access to supplies and grocery supplies for the small co-op stores that they run throughout the autonomous territories. But along with that, there's a lot of challenges that they're facing. Their health system is really lacking a lot of materials and a lot of well-trained individuals to handle the health difficulties that the population is going through.
Well, also joining this discussion is Alejandro Reyes. As we said, he will be joining the Zapatista campaign and following along on his motorcycle, and we're delighted that he will be reporting for us on Flashpoints about that journey. Talk a little bit about what you know about the Zapatistas and why you're driven to drive your motorcycle all the way down there and join.
Okay, yeah.
And welcome.
Thank you. Hi. I've been following the Zapatista movement ever since 1994, but in particular last summer, the Zapatistas, as you probably know, called for a red alert and withdrew into the jungle to discuss the future of the movement. And shortly thereafter, they came out with the sixth declaration of the Lacandon jungle. I was in Brazil at the time. I was doing research on street children when I read about this development, and I read the Sixth Declaration, and I realized that this is probably one of the most important movements in our times right now.
What about that declaration was crucial?
The declaration essentially says that so far they have been struggling for indigenous rights, and it has been pretty much a local movement focused in Chiapas and focused on indigenous peoples, creating the autonomous communities, doing an experiment in self-determination and autonomy. The Sixth Declaration brings that beyond that level into the level of the whole nation. to unite the forces of people that are marginalized, people that are left out of the system, across the board. And so this proposal seemed extremely difficult to conceive and extremely radical in its proposals. Shortly thereafter, they started calling for preparatory meetings where they called for people from all sorts of different sectors, indigenous groups, political people acting in political groups, not related to political parties, individuals, NGOs, and so on, to go to the Lackanon jungle and start discussing how to go about implementing this new idea. I thought this was such an important moment that I decided to go down there for the meeting for individuals in the jungle in September. And this type of what I saw out there was to me so extraordinary, indicated the possibility of a movement that's unique in the world, that I decided to follow it very closely. So I started working with here in Pacifica Radio, Radio Zapatista, and getting involved with that. On January 1st, Subcomandante Marcos, who now calls himself Delegado Cero, started traveling around the country. There's been 17 states in the country. He's going to visit all of the states in the country from January till the end of June. There's been about over 200 meetings. He's covered maybe 12,000 miles, talking to the most marginalized people. This is indigenous people, students, women, sex workers, gay, lesbian, transgenders, what have you, and creating a broad alliance. So all of these struggles, which have been very active, all of a sudden are beginning to get together and talk to each other. So this, I think, to me has a relevance, an extraordinary relevance to our world today.
And let me throw it back to you, if I could, Pedro. Talking about those warehouses so that local growers, people can move their goods, is this particularly crucial and pressing in the context of free trade? We know the other campaign is well aware of the impact of the burgeoning free trade. Does that come into play here?
I think it does to a certain extent, in the way that they are able to market their own products to their fellow campesinos, the fellow people in their local communities. But in general, I think it is more of a local project that allows for the local communities to do trade amongst themselves and to also sustain an alternative economy.
All right, let's talk a little bit more about the other campaign. I'd like to talk to you both about it. Some people are sort of now referring to the Zapatistas as the sort of the Ralph Nader type spoilers. Here you got a progressive candidate, they say, from Mexico City, very popular, can make a big change, and the Zapatistas aren't supporting him. How come?
I think one of the main reasons is that there's not really a lot of faith into what the PRD is actually able to do. For several reasons. First of all, because of the endemic corruption of the system, which is part of all parties. PRD is as corrupt as everybody else. And in terms of its ability to actually create the fundamental structural changes in the economic system that are necessary. In other words, the type of left that is a reformist left that would not be able to create structural changes that are necessary, that would be more cosmetic, that would be creating a lot of compromises with forces that would essentially tie their hands to be able to actually create those type of changes. The PRD does not have a history of engaging with the people of Mexico. It is, again, a top-down approach. So these Zapatistas are saying, any top-down approach that doesn't actually engage the people in true participative democracy will not lead us anywhere, because the people down at the bottom are always the ones that are left out of any type of project that doesn't involve them as protagonists and not as recipients of handouts and the kind of thing that has been going down, that has been going on throughout Mexican history. So transforming the people into protagonists of history and You know, if you look at what's been going on with media coverage, for example, the mainstream media coverage that has been in the United States almost completely silent, and in Mexico pretty much silent, except for a few, if you know, like La Jornada, other media. This type of silence reflects, to me, a sort of perplexity with what's going on down there. They don't really understand that this is relevant. They don't really understand that this is of historical relevance. And they don't understand that because they can't conceive of the people as protagonists of history. I read an article by the New York Times talking about the very same meeting that I went to in September. And essentially, they wrote about it as a sort of circus with a lot of words that really didn't mean anything. And I saw it as an incredible experiment in participative democracy. These two visions have to do with, I think, this very ingrained idea that the people can't be their own protagonists of their own history, that they have to be led from outside. So the proposal of the Zapatistas is very different from sort of a traditional left of the vanguards that are going to create a consciousness in the people by leading the way into the future. This is actually, they're working as sort of catalysts for people to lead their own way. And this is sort of the message that's going on over and over again, is we're not asking you to follow anything. We want you to follow, you know, to lead the way, articulating the forces among the various groups.
Well, that's very interesting. There's a lot of discussion among the so-called left or the progressive community in this country about how we only have one political party with two names, you know, the Republic, perhaps the Democrats, whatever you want to call them. And the big cry is we need a third party. We need the Green Party, or we need a fourth party, the Peace and Freedom Party, or a fifth party. But I guess what the Zapatistas are trying to do is to set an example of maybe there needs to be another campaign. We used to say nobody for president.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly.
So, and there, I guess they're saying the point here is that despite the content, in other words, what one person you might be able to elect who has some decency about them, by the time they're eaten up by the form, it's not possible for real change.
Yeah, what they're saying is that the problem is with the system and not necessarily with who's up there, right? So the idea is shifting away the focus from electoral politics into participative democracy. We have gotten to a point where we think that electoral democracy is democracy, and I think that's what the Zapatistas are challenging.
And let's go back to you, if we could, Pedro Navarro. You're just back from Chiapas. How is the other campaign playing down there, or is there a division between some of us need to support the mayor of Mexico City and the PRD, and some of us don't, or is there a consensus there?
Well, as far as the experience I gained from being in the Zapatista communities, of course they're fully behind the other campaign, and they are fully supporting that. The divisions come more along the lines of the established political parties, where people from the PRI or the PAN or PRD, any of those different people who follow those groups. They tend to go against each other and battle each other, but as far as in the Zapatista communities, we didn't really see anything other than support for the other campaign. Besides that, in the bigger towns outside of the Zapatista communities, there is a sense of momentum behind the other campaign, and it is being talked about throughout the Mexican country.
You are listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. We're coming to you from San Francisco, the Mission District, as we continue our wonderful collaboration with New College of California. And I'm looking out at the beautiful sun coming in today and people coming and going, getting out of work. And it is great to be here in the midst of the heartland, if you will, or the place, the south that came north. Before we say goodbye to you, Pedro Navarro, if you wanted to tell people, say, three crucial things, and you will be reporting back tonight for those people in the Bay Area at La Pena, but what are three crucial things you learned in your recent trip?
Well, what I've learned is that the Zapatistas continue to develop that infrastructure that I was referring to earlier, that autonomy that is in its own way is a model, and it's also something that is being played out in a very particular place in Chiapas. I feel that their accomplishments are very good, and they continue to develop this autonomy amidst so much counterinsurgency and paramilitary activity. Another thing is that the Zapatistas still do need a lot more solidarity, a lot more international awareness of their flight and of their fight and of their struggle, because they are still a long way from accomplishing the goals that they are setting themselves out to gain. And in general, I think I would recommend everyone to stay tuned to the Zapatistas. Do not forget what is going on in southern Mexico and how their philosophies and their struggle applies to all of us throughout the world.
And that is the voice of Pedro Navarro. He works with the Chiapas Support Committee. For those of you in the Bay Area, he will be at La Peña Cultural Center with our other guest here tonight doing a report back from Chiapas. I believe that's going to be happening at
7:30
at La Peña in Berkeley. And just to conclude with you, let's talk a little bit about the future here. You're taking your motorcycle down. And we're going to have sort of motorcycle diaries too, as you
the
track
other diaries,
the other diaries. We're going to have the other diaries, and believe me, we're going to open up those segments with a little. tell us about what you're looking forward to and what you have in store in terms of your coverage.
Okay, yeah, I'm going down there with a colleague, Dan Emser from UC Berkeley, who's been working with indigenous movements and actually worked in Chiapas for about a month. We're going down there at the beginning of June. The 3rd of June, the Zapatistas are arriving in Chiapas, and we'll be traveling through Chiapas, Sonora, Sinaloa, both Baja California Norte and Baja California Sur, and for the final meeting in Mexico City, and then we'll follow them down to Chiapas and hang out in San Cristobal and the communities during the month of July. Several very important moments in this whole thing. There will be a meeting with Chicanos and Mexicans from this side of the border happening in Ciudad Juarez in Chihuahua at the beginning of June. In the middle of June, probably the third week of June, there will be the same meeting with Chicanos and Mexicans from this side of the border in Tijuana. We're going to be covering both of those events.
So this is sort of a cross-border event.
Yeah.
One Mexico.
Exactly. The idea is that Mexico is not only within the confines of the physical borders, right?
Right. A lot of us are trying to forget about the Alamo and other related events, but you know, we think about, you know, when we talk about undocumented immigrants, mm-hmm. That is in the largest sense an incredible insult. It's like, you know, somebody shouting at a Native American in the street, go home. You know, I remember that story after 9/11. Go home, go home, go home. Where? I am home. You go home.
That's right. The border crossed us, right?
The border crossed us. So how much time are you planning to spend down there?
We're gonna spend the whole month of June traveling with the campaign. It's going to be a pretty intense moment of traveling. They're traveling almost every single day, going from one place to another. So we're going to spend all of June. The campaign ends in 25th of June. At that time, we ride down with them to Chiapas, and we'll spend all of July down there through the Mexican elections, through probably the international Zapatista meeting that will happen probably in July. We don't know when yet, and we'll be coming back in August.
Just finally, what kind of impact, is there any way to read the kind of impact that the Zapatistas are having or might have on the official campaign, if you will?
The idea is not really to have an impact on that. It's to have an entirely different impact, an other impact, right? There are those who are worrying that this might actually help the PRI or the PIN to win. It's not quite clear whether or not it'll divide the left, but the important thing is that the Zapatistas are not either, they're not really concerned with the elections. They're using this moment of the elections to create a different type of awareness and a different type of movement.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to those reports. We're going to get our sound button ready. We're going to get our motorcycles ready. We're going to ride along with you on the radio ride with the Zapatistas as you follow the other campaign. We do want to thank you, Alejandro Reyes.
You,
along with Pedro Navarro, work with the Chiapas Support Committee and with the Zapatista Radio Collective on La Onda Bajita. Is that correct? That is beautiful. We thank you for being with us. We're looking forward to those reports. You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. We go from Mexico to Haiti.